How wonderful to come together to sing about heaven. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Inspires us to keep toiling on, doesn't it? And that song, He Leadeth Me, if we'll let him lead us, that's where that ends. And in a moment, as we stand to sing the song, it's our hope and prayer that you'll not be almost persuaded, but all together to take up your cross and follow. This afternoon, the second dose, if you will, of the series that we started this morning concerning why we don't keep the law of Moses. We pick up with the book of Galatians in chapter 4, where we heard read a moment ago, concerning Paul's allegory. Two Old Testament women are used to represent the two covenants. In verse 21, Paul asks, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who is of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." Which things are an allegory. For these, that is, these women and their sons, are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband." Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman should not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The eighth reason as to why we don't keep the law of Moses is the fact that the bond woman and her son have been cast out. Now, you go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 16, and you read about Abraham, his wife Sarah, and then the bondmaid or bondwoman, Hagar. So you have this bond woman and her son. Her son was Ishmael. And then you had that arrangement representing the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. Then you have the free woman. The free woman is Sarah. The bond woman was Hagar. The son of the free woman, Sarah, was Isaac. And that arrangement represents the new covenant. Then he asks, what saith the scripture? The scripture said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. So what do you have left? You're left with the free woman, her son, Sarah and Isaac, which represent the new covenant that came from Jerusalem. And so that's pretty clear, is it not? That the old covenant has been done away and the new covenant is binding. I'll tell you another reason, though, why we don't keep the law of Moses. And that is because of the consequences, if we do. You know, there are a lot of consequences to keeping the Old Testament law. And I want to just quickly point out some of those. First of all, it makes a person guilty of spiritual adultery. From Romans 7, 1 through 4. When Paul pointed out that the law had dominion over man as long as he liveth. And using the relationship of marriage to illustrate that, he said in verses 2 and 3 that the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. And he makes application of that to the law. Verse 4. My brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. And so as a woman married to two men at the same time is guilty of adultery. The person trying to subject themselves to two laws simultaneously are guilty of spiritual adultery. And so we don't keep the law of Moses because of the consequences. One of those being that it makes you guilty of spiritual adultery. But also it causes justification to be impossible. In Galatians 3 and 11, Paul said that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Furthermore, if you keep the law of Moses, it causes some things to be in vain. It caused Christ to die in vain. No need for Christ to have died if the Old Testament is a force. In Galatians 2:21, Paul said, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Did Christ die in vain? Those who suggest that the law is still operative would have us think that Christ died in vain. That's the consequence. But also, brethren must have suffered in vain. In Galatians 3 and 4, Paul said, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. All the things they suffered for the cause of Christ were all for naught, if the law of Moses is still binding. Also, Paul must have labored in vain. For in Galatians 4 and in verse 10, he said, you observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you. Why did he say that? Lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. So it makes some things vain if the law is still in force. Also, it puts you under a curse. In Galatians 3 and verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Then verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Why be cursed through reverting to Judaism when you can be blessed in the law of Christ? Also, it reduces one to servant status. Galatians 4, 1 through 7 shows the difference between a son and a servant. He said in verse 6, ye are sons. Thou art no more a servant, but a son. And a reading of that in the context shows that when you go back and keep the law, you reduce yourself to a servant. Why be a servant when you can be a son and have all the advantages and the benefits of sonship? But also, it puts you in bondage. In the book of Acts in chapter 15, when this was being discussed in Jerusalem among the apostles and elders, in verse 10, it is said, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? When you go back and keep the law, you know what you're doing? You're putting a yoke about your neck. In Galatians 5 and 1, it is written, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then from verse 2 of Galatians 5, another consequence is it makes Christ unprofitable. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, what do you have to say about this, Paul? That if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. You know how much Christ profits? Nothing, if you go back and keep the law of Moses. Also, it obligates you to do the whole law. Verse 3, he said, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So if you go back and keep part of it, you're obligated to keep all of it. Further, in Galatians 5 and 4, it makes Christ of no effect. Because, Paul said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. So if you try to be justified by the law, it makes Christ ineffective. Also, it causes one to fall from grace. Look at the last part of verse 4. He said, you're falling from grace. You don't want to do that, do you? Because you're saved by grace, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Also, it would disqualify Christ from the priesthood. Because Christ could not be priest according to the law. To be a priest, you had to be of the tribe of Levi in the book of Numbers, chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. But according to the teaching of the scriptures, Christ was of the tribe of Judah. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14 says, "It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." Chapter 8 and verse 4, it is said, "If he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law." And in chapter 7 and verse 12, he said, "The priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the laws." One of the great evidences that the law has changed is the fact that Christ is priest, great high priest. That could not be if the law of Moses is still binding. So one of the consequences is it disqualifies Christ from the priesthood. It also makes the apostles false teachers, because we've noticed time and again scriptures where the apostles taught that the law was done away and abolished, that we're dead to it, we're separated from it. Now, if men today tell us that it's still in force and they're teaching the truth about that, then the apostles were teaching false doctrine about it. But if what the apostles taught was truth, and I believe it is, as they were guided into all truth, then what men today are saying about it is entirely false. And so that's a list of some consequences if we go back and keep the law. Now turn with me over to the book of Colossians in chapter 2. In Colossians 2 and 14, Paul says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." And so a tenth reason as to why we don't keep the law of Moses is because of the fact that it's been blotted out, taken out of the way, and nailed to the cross. That's strange language, isn't it? If the Old Testament is to be observed today. Now, notice in Colossians 2 and 14, in that context, he mentions the Sabbath days. Remember, there are those who try to tell us that the Sabbath is part of the law of God and that's still binding. Paul didn't know that, did he? The Holy Spirit must not have revealed that to him. Because he said in verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of what? The Sabbath days." Thus, it's not a standard of judgment. And yet there are those today who want to make the Old Testament, what Moses said, a standard of judgment. "Have ye not read these words? Let no man judge you." Colossians 2, 16. In light of that. But also, we don't keep the law of Moses because it was a shadow. We have the reality. We have the substance in the law of Christ. Stemming out of Colossians 2, the blotted out, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, is this statement in verse 17. He said, "Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." We're familiar with shadows. The shadow is not the substance, not the real McCoy. Hebrews 10:1 says, "The law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things." See? Why don't we keep the law of Moses? Because it's just a shadow. I'll tell you another reason why we don't keep the law of Moses. And that is the fact that we have a better Testament. What book would you read to learn about a better testament? How about the book of Hebrews? It's a book of better things. The word better, it's one that appears several times throughout the book. In Hebrews 7 and verse 22, the writer said, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament." And again in chapter 8 and verse 6, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. See, better testament, better covenant. Why go back and keep the law of Moses, the old covenant, when we have a better covenant? That's a good question, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. We are impressed with the fact that Christ is better. See, this book shows the superiority of Christ. Being made so much better, he said, Hebrews 1 and verse 4. The New Testament, the better testament, has better hope. Hebrews 7:19 says, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The better covenant has better promises. Hebrews 8:6 talks about that. How that he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And following that statement, you have some of those better promises of the better covenant. They all start with the words, I will, or will I. Like verse 10. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Remember, tables of hearts versus tables of stone, 2 Corinthians 3. I will be to them a God, they shall be to me a people. Verse 12. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Better promises. But also the better testament has better sacrifices. Hebrews 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Better sacrifices. This book shows the superiority of the sacrifice of Christ over those sacrifices that were offered continually under the Old Testament. And it also has better blood. Hebrews 12 and verse 24 talks about the better blood. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Read this book. You'll learn that there's things the blood of bulls and goats could not do, that only the blood of Christ can accomplish. And so let me ask again, why go back and keep the law of Moses when we have a better testament? Doesn't make any sense, does it? But also, we keep a new covenant and don't revert to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament makes nothing, you know what the next word is? Perfect. Perfection, completion, was not to be had under the Old Testament system. That is capitalized on by the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 7, like in verse 19, when he said, for the law made nothing perfect. So if you are under the law, you can't be perfect. If you're trying to keep the law of Moses, you'll never be perfect. See? Hebrews 9 and verse 9. Says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. And then Hebrews 10:1, how that the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. And so the law made nothing perfect. But guess what? By way of contrast, James 1:25 talks about the perfect law of liberty. Remember James in his writing, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That's not the law of Moses. That's the new covenant. And as Paul would write in the letter to the Colossians, which emphasizes completeness in Christ. He said in Colossians 2 and verse 10, and ye are complete in him. You couldn't be complete in Moses, but we're complete in Christ. Another reason why we don't keep the law of Moses is because of the fact that there has been the death of the testator. from the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. It is said, "For this cause he," that is Jesus, "is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." And so it was the death of Christ on the cross that took away the old law, the old covenant, and ushered in the new covenant. To suggest that the old covenant is still in force is to fail to observe the fact that there's been the death of the testator. And then finally, why don't we keep the law of Moses? Because we are under law, the Christ. Someone follow us all through these first 14 points and then suggest that, well, we must not think we're under any law today. Since we're not under the law, we don't keep the law, then there must not be any law. Well, that's just not true. 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 21. Paul said, "Not without law to God, but under what? The law to Christ." And so we're under law. We are under law to Christ. That's why in Galatians 6 and verse 2, Paul said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill what? The law of Christ." We're under law. The law of Christ. So why don't we keep the law of Moses? Because we have a different law to keep. 15 reasons as to why we don't keep the law of Moses. Hope those will be helpful to you in your personal study to rightly divide the word of truth, and as you try to talk to others in an effort to bring them to the Lord. There may be one or more who's not yet come to Jesus. All things are ready that you might do that this afternoon. Having heard the word, that you'd be mine to keep it, to believe it, to obey it in the repentance of your sins, the confession of faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. There's plenty of water around to baptize you, and we're ready to do that if you're ready. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been what you need to be. You've not been faithful to the Lord. You need to come back. You need to be restored. We'll be happy to pray for you as we stand and sing the song. We cordially invite you to come.